pretty sure my dad thinks I work one day a week. Even after 25 years of ministry, I'm still sure that's the case. I remember telling him that a sermon when I was first in ministry took me 8 hours. He couldn't believe it. He thought it was a bit like an after-dinner speech, you know, a few minutes in the shower and you're done. And even now that I'm not preaching so regularly, I'm not a pastor as such, but I'm going around visiting people, he thinks essentially, I'm pretty sure, that I'm just a glorified coffee taster. That's my job. He asked me where I've been drinking coffee when I speak to him each week. I went into ministry 25 years ago with massive expectations, I guess. I dreamt big. I thought that was a godly thing to do, to dream big. I went to a little place called Yateley, you've probably never heard of it, in the north end of Hampshire. And I thought, what's going to happen when I go to this church? 40 members, a little bit smaller than 40 members. I thought, what's going to happen? There are going to be conversions. There's going to be baptisms. They haven't had a baptism in years. There are going to be baptisms. We're going to be a training hub. We're going to be sending out. We're going to be planting. Revival is going to come to Yateley. In my first 3 years, there were zero conversions. Zero baptisms, 15 funerals. And the Lord took the good people. The ones that were left behind were the awkward ones. My heart ached at the sorrows. And my heart was not really aligned to the realities of Christian ministry that you find in Scripture. It's an extraordinary moment in the book of Ezra, a book that I love, when they're rebuilding the temple. And as they begin to dig the foundations of the temple, there's a mixture of responses. There's weeping and there's joy. They're all mixed in together. The person who wrote Ezra, it's probably Ezra himself, even though he was not alive at the time, he wrote down these words. He said, "The sound of weeping cannot be distinguished from the shouts of joy." That is essentially the nature of Christian ministry. Joys and sorrows all mixed up together, sometimes in the same person, in the same event. Joy and sorrow. You see the same tension, I think, in the Apostle Paul. We've been thinking a lot about 2 Corinthians, and you see it in 2 Corinthians. You see extraordinary joys. Just listen to how he describes the ministry he's been given, the ministry of the new covenant. This is chapter 3, verse 7. If the ministry that brought death, he's talking about the old covenant, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, transitory though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that brought condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was transitory came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Those Old Testament stories, the stories of Moses, amazing stories. Paul is saying this is so much better. So the teen in your church, you spend a little bit of time with and starts growing and blossoming as a Christian. What joy. The backslider who returns, been away from the Lord 15 years. I had that. They come back to the Lord on your watch. You can't get to sleep. So excited. Or the musician in your church has just been slogging away and kind of been robbed of their joy, but they keep going and suddenly the Lord does something in them. So you just notice, you know, a bit more oomph in the piano playing on a Sunday morning. Or perhaps best of all, the new convert, leading someone to Christ, or hearing about someone in the church who's been led to Christ. All work is glorious. Doesn't matter what work you do in the world, there can be glory in all of it, with a few exceptions. But I want to say to you, there is a sense in which the work of ministry is the best work in the world. For it has with it a glory that lasts. And yet there's a heavy burden. This is Paul again, 2 Corinthians 11. Besides everything else, and he's just been talking, by the way, about all the physical struggles he's had. Notwithstanding all of that, that's bad enough. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn? Christian life is one of dying daily. The Christian life of ministry, I think, is also dying daily, but it's a particular kind of death. It is feeling, and to some extent, bearing a weight of what's going on in other people's lives. Now, we're not the Messiah. We don't ultimately bear that weight, but we feel it. So we feel a teen fighting against a parent, doesn't want to come to church. You feel the anguish of that. And nothing you can say can persuade them that it'd be good for them to be there. Good for them to come along to the youth group. A husband who comes to you and confesses sexual sin and says, I think this is the end of my marriage. An elder who's serving alongside you, or a fellow leader in a women's work or a small group work, and they've got such a critical spirit. You can't do anything right. Everything is negative. I'm keeping you honest, they say to you. But everything is negative. Someone who rejects the faith entirely. Sitting alongside, walking with a parent whose child has grown up, perhaps even confessing Christ, but has wandered away while at university. Or just the relational strain. Because all of life is relationships and the constant relational strain. There are deep, deep burdens. It's the best work in the world. And I think there's a sense in which it is the hardest work in the world. It's not Dad just drinking coffee. Now, I struggle to balance that. And I think most people do, because we're all wired a certain way. But until Jesus returns, this is the reality of life, and it's the reality of Christian ministry. I think we have to know ourselves. We have to know how we're wired. The Bible encourages us to think of ourselves with sober judgment. And perhaps you're a glass half full person, always looking for the positive, always discovering the positive. But I think I want to say to you gently today, you need to feel some of the weight of ministry. It's a costly path. If you don't do that, by the way, every disappointment will feel like a disqualifying failure. You'll be constantly dragged down from the position you'd love to be in. There are going to be hard seasons. There are hard people to deal with. Need to be full of realism. Or perhaps you're a glass half empty kind of person. You always see the negative side of everything. I guess I'm a bit like that. I think if that's you, and by the way, a lot of people who go into Christian ministry are like that, because it attracts those kinds of people, thoughtful, you know, reflective, deep. I'm not saying, by the way, that if you're a glass half full person, you're superficial, although I might be thinking that deep in my heart. But if you're a glass half empty kind of person, I think there is a Christian discipline, which is to seek out the joys. You've got to go and look for them. You've got to go and find them. They're there if you'll look. Conversation that you have, a little text that someone sends you, a little message, story that you hear about someone in church who shared the gospel with their neighbor. I think it's a Christian discipline to search out the joys and to let them sink in and soak in to your heart. I guess in Winnie the Pooh terminology, most of us are either a Tigger or an Eeyore. Tigger, who's always bouncing around and full of joy. Eeyore, who's constantly miserable. You're probably inclined towards one of those. And I want to say to you that Christian ministry is about walking the middle path. It's about seeking out the joys and letting them excite you, letting them delight you, feeling the glory of them. But it's also about being realistic, about the weight, the burden, and prayerfully committing that to your Heavenly Father. And in choosing that path, we are following the way of Jesus. He chose the way of the cross, the way of hardship. And he chose that path. He scorned its shame for the joy set before him. Ministry is full of joys and sorrows because it's following in his footsteps.